May I thank Diana and the Cathedral Chapter for allowing me the opportunity to preach at this service, which falls for me around the 40th anniversary of my ordination to the diaconate. Here, 40 years ago, in Guildford Cathedral, I was ordained a deacon, and it has enabled me to have wonderful experience of ministry within the Anglican Communion, a small part of which I can share with you today. Did you experience perplexity when you heard the gospel reading? If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones, it would have been better for you if a great millstone were hung around his neck. What does this mean? It seems to be punishment worthy of only hell itself. Yet it comes from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Mark's gospel, of all the gospels, poses the question of hospitality and table fellowship. Jesus followed the tradition of Middle Eastern welcome and welcomed people into the homes where he stayed. It was free and unfettered. There were those whom this offended, and it brought him into conflict with a group of people called the separated ones, the Pharisees. So there are two distinct sections to our gospel reading this morning. The first reminds us of the common moral purpose in the Middle East, that of hospitality. For to whoever you give a cup of water to drink, because you bear the name of Christ, you will by no means lose your reward. The second section is about the consequences of failure. Those of you who have lived in the Middle East may have experienced hospitality. Living as I did in Beirut in the late 1960s, those who looked after me were Muslims and Christians, and they invited me to meals in their homes. It was offered freely until, of course, hospitality ran out. In the gospel reading, we have Jesus clearly endorsing hospitality. So when an exorcist is creating issues for the disciples, what are they to do? Do they give him house room or not? Jesus encourages them to show the customary Near Eastern hospitality. My mind goes back to a time when I was, while being a priest in Oxshott, asked to minister as provost of Cairo Cathedral. Egypt is a place where Anglicans have had a Christian presence since the days of Nelson. The Queen's Regiment has a chapel here on the north side of the cathedral and bears a sphinx. Cairo is, of course, a place where the majority population are Muslim. Today, the Cathedral of All Saints is caught up in the issues of Christian-Muslim relations. The cathedral itself is built in the shape of a Bedouin tent, surmounted by the crown of Christ. It has resonances architecturally of the common roots we have in the faith of Abraham and the way these are fulfilled in Christ. So the Cathedral of All Saints has become part of the hospitality initiative of the Christian Church. The crypt of the cathedral plays host to refugees from the Sudan. These are Christians who are refugees from conflict. Services are provided in Arabic, Sudanese, Amharic, and English. But at the heart of the Cathedral of Cairo is the message of reconciliation that is surely in the heart of God. God, who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the hospitable God. And in Christ, he has given us a picture of where humanity and divinity meet. We are told that St. Mark's Gospel is written in the Greek of the streets of Alexandria and Rome. It was designed to be recited in public as well as read in private. So we see in this chapter a rhetorical device that plays on two Greek words. On the billboards alongside the word is the word oikos. Oikos is the word for house or home. Jesus commanded his disciples to minister the peace of God. He visited people's homes and blessed them. Today, the word oikos has given us the idea of the ecumene, the people of God throughout the world. Ecumenism is therefore the welcome that we give to Christians of another tradition. This movement of recent times has been successful in enabling us to share fellowship across all that divides us as human beings. And we note as the Church of England changes and the work of Lambeth changes, the work of ecumenism is important as it ever was before. In the second part of our passage, Jesus forces the issue of hospitality with a play on words between oikos and onikos. The word onikos was the millstone on which corn is ground. It is made of stone and is heavy. If that were tied around our necks, we would be unable to carry it. The choice to be hospitable is one of obligation. The failure to do so carries consequences. Jesus desires us to be hospitable and invite Christian people into our homes. Or the alternative is something that we cannot conceive, the onikos, a millstone that is hung around our necks. Today we see the mass migration of thousands of people across borders from Syria and Iraq to Serbia, Hungary, and yes, even to Munich Station. In Fleet Street, the Red Top Press play the similar game to that posed by Mark. Are we to be hosts to refugees, or will we become a hostage to fortune? This is semantic, simplistic, but hides deeper questions. But Mark's gospel poses for us an unequivocal obligation. It suggests Christian hospitality will make life good, but its denial will make life at best uncertain and unsure, at worst critical and dangerous. The impact of hospitality has been considerable in our own parish. St. Andrew's Oxshott has placed host to Nigerians from the Church of Nigeria for 20 years. Nigeria is a country where there are more Christians than the Christians in the whole of Northern Europe, including the United Kingdom. We have been privileged to build there a hospital. The hospital itself in Aweri was not as costly as one might have imagined. But in terms of commitment and energy, it could not have been more successful in establishing a raison d'etre for Christian stewardship. It was a catalyst that brought together the focus of a parish in outreach. We are a communion with great strengths. If you've heard nothing else of the Nigerians, you know that they are very religious. There is the religious significance in the names people use. Names in the Ibu tribe are pre-Christian and record their pre-Christian belief in God. I remember being at an ordination where 50 men were priested. It's a cathedral built for 10,000 people, where two of the priests had the name Chukwumeka. It means God is my destiny. For before the coming of the missionaries, the original African religion believed in a creator God. They also believed that they were in living contact with the past, the ancestors. Christian faith came, people were baptized, and their old world was repopulated with eternal and heavenly realities. So today, this week, they will be celebrating the festival of Michael and All Angels, as it uniquely relates them to the saints. And for them, Christian faith explains the religions of the past and moves on into the future. Archbishop Justin has said we live in an untidy church. We live with many ambiguities. Within our own communion, there are real concerns about the sort of welcome that we give to all people. The consequences of a failure to find resolution to this are serious. And Archbishop Justin has expressed very clearly that the solution is to become a place of reconciliation. It will not surprise us that Anglicans throughout the world have responded to this obligation of hospitality in different ways. They differ as much from New York to Nairobi. Is it not the Gospels that are themselves untidy on this subject? St. Mark believes in table fellowship and hospitality. St. Matthew takes a step back and wishes to see the integrity of our connection to Judaism in all that Jesus lived and taught. And St. Luke goes on to show how many of the heroes of the Gospel are upright in Jewish terms. Mary and Joseph are righteous, Simon and Anna, and even the rich young ruler also. So the Gospels are untidy as well. But the last word goes to Luke and to John. Here on the reflection of hospitality, we see the guest become the host. In the Acts of the Apostles, St. Peter is asked to visit a centurion, Cornelius. He's invited there to share the home of a Gentile, but in the process, he shares the host, Jesus. And it's my experience of mission in the Anglican Communion that being a guest gets us all caught up in the idea of Jesus as the host. In the process of sharing hospitality, we become aware of him. And this is true of our service today. When the gifts of the people of God are brought up, when the wine and bread is consecrated, the gifts become symbols of Christ's presence in this Eucharist. Surely this is a mystery. The guest becomes the host. And when we practice Christian hospitality, we entertain a mystery. We do indeed entertain Christ. And now to God the Father be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen.